Radio One Roadshow today. We're from the Pool Park in Dorset.
Radio One FM live from Eastbourne.
The Roadshow in Margate.
And all the Dorset people are here.
People as far as the eye can see here in South Sea.
Bay City Rollers giving a little love from Hastings.
The Radio One Roadshow.
And now, we celebrate the truly iconic Radio One Roadshow as we talk to the legendary DJs and crew who brought you the world's biggest free broadcasting event every summer during the 70s, 80s and 90s. Get ready to relive those memories with Sean Tilly and Smiley Miley as they bring you my Radio One Roadshow in the South.
Here we go then. Thanks for hooking up with us at the BBC. And for the next hour, we'll celebrate the special relationship the Radio One Roadshow enjoyed with the South Coast, plus the thousands of locals and the holiday makers who flock to see it every year. We'll hear from some very well-known names who'll be sharing their recollections and stories with us, plus a super fan who became a member of the crew himself. But firstly, let me introduce my co-host, the man who was the heartbeat of the Radio 1 Roadshow during the 70s, 80s and 90s. In that case, it could only be Smiley Miley.
Hi, Sean. It's great to be back. And here we are now to do a new My Radio 1 Roadshow in the South, after our success of BBC My Radio 1 Roadshow in Wales.
Yes, once again, Smiles, we've got two of the biggest names to ever grace the Roadshow stage joining us, and we're thrilled that one of those is Philip Schofield.
Well, gentlemen, how lovely to hear your voices.
It brings back memories, Phil, doesn't it?
Just a bit. It's been a while.
Yeah. Well, 30 years.
Was that 30 years ago?
It's also a delight to have Tony Blackburn with us.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be here, and nice to think back to those great days of the Radio 1 Roadshow as well.
Well, when was the last time you saw this fella here, Tone? Smiley Miley?
A long, long time ago. Long time ago, when we were both about 18 years old, I think, probably.
I think we're a little bit older than 18 now, you know.
Possibly. You could well be right.
Radio 1 Roadshow in the South.
Do not miss even a second of the next hour, as you will love the memories that we have in store. And it was 1973 when the Roadshow first came down here. Pool was the location. The DJ was our much-missed friend, Alan Freeman, and the BBC South cameras were there to witness the event.
Alan, how important is it to you to come out and meet the fans like this?
Well, it's very important because, you know, as a disc jockey, one is playing music for everybody, and particularly when you're travelling in an open caravan during holiday time in resorts, you're going to meet the public en masse and all kinds of people, and all kinds of people listen to the radio and communicate with pop music. So I think it's very important that you come out and say hello to them personally.
But Radio One Club has been going for quite a long time now.
Yes,
this is basically the same thing, but outdoors.
Well, it's basically the same thing, except that in Radio One Clubs, you're either in a youth club or a university. When you're with the Radio One Roadshow, you're out on holiday with the holiday crowds. For instance, I mean, you wouldn't meet this crowd in a youth club, because there are a lot more people here who aren't in the youth category, you see.
Fluff would come down in the afternoons and he would just sit on the stage and talk to everybody.
And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome once again to the Radio One Roadshow. Today we're from the Pool Park in Dorset, a big crowd outside here. I know you want to hear some music. We're going to come out and talk to you very soon. But in the meantime, let's have some music coming from Slade. Here we go. And incidentally, let's see you do a bit of clapping, all right? And sing along with it.
And also touring the South Coast in those early days was Roscoe.
This is My Radio 1 Roadshow in the South. The Roadshow.
R-O-S-K-O, Roscoe. Moving on the Roadshow, Radio 1.
Yo, Tilly, Smiley, nice of you to get in touch. Of course, the South Coast brings back some incredible memories for me. I remember, because it was for the first 3 years of its existence. I mean, I brought the Roadshow here, and my debut program was Live at 5 from Brighton. That was in July of 1973.
Master Hoople's having a real Honolulu summer boogie here on the all-new Radio 1 Roadshow. We're at the old fish market in Brighton. We're here till 7 o'clock. When we join up with Radio 2, but hey, have no fear. The 247 Music Machine returns tonight at 10 o'clock with Bob Harris.
Stuart Grundy came on. I remember he was on the road with me as producer on that first week. And another one I remember also was was it the Marine Sands in Margate, which had an enormous crowd, even though the road show was in its infancy. What the heck? It was breaking big ground.
247. Hey, we got it all happening for you right now. The road show in Margate. Are you ready? The Marine Sands are ready for us. The sun is shining. I can't wait for Margate.
And then, yeah, right, take me back, 1974. Poole Park. Do you remember? I love Poole. Such a cool place. Anyway, there's some film of it that actually exists. BBC South has some. And they unearthed it a couple of years ago. So anything can happen.
Get it on with you. For the Poole Company, that is the Army lads, that's Will, Rick, Steve, Neil, and Chris. See you at the big battle at Dorchester, it says, on the 31st of August. Sounds like maneuvers. And also, we're going to have somebody, I believe, from the signal department, the Army signal department, or they are kind of broadcasting around here, testing things out and showing people how it's done. And funny enough, I believe that they infringe on our wavelength occasionally, so we may hear something there. Nevertheless, without further ado, on the big sound.
I remember us visiting Bognor that year, and South Sea in particular, which was also a special roadshow location that I loved. Came back in 1975, and we took the roadshow to Worthing. But what I remember most of all was the welcoming reception we got from the mayor when we turned up in Hastings the next day. We were all nursing heavy hangovers, but none as bad as Tim Blackmore. Our producer was a hazy shade of green during the broadcast, as I recall.
Radio 1 put a little sun on your bun on the road show, which today sends greetings to you back at home from the beach opposite Breeze Fountain, with the Bay City Rollers giving a little love from Hastings to the entire United Kingdom.
I left Radio 1 for a year back in 76, but I recall one of my favorite memories was when I returned in the summer of 77. We did a special rock and roll road show from Brands Hatch in Kent. I was playing all these great rock and roll records from the 50s, while all the other DJs were racing around the track. Noel Edmonds went whizzing around. I remember him because he was always winning.
Coming to you live from Brands Hatch in the sunshine with 10,000 plus good vibrations and lots of rock and roll happening today. And another roving reporter has made it up here. Once again, a member of the winning team for a change, which is nice. And that is Noel Edmonds.
Yes, well, I mean, we all expected it, didn't we? I mean, there's no
doubt. Did you really think you were going to win from the off?
No, because from the off we had Simon Bass.
Yeah, that is a definite negative factor in any team.
A disadvantage. But I think we came good. We shouldn't knock Gambaccini's scooting efforts. I thought they were very good.
The roadshow caravan and stage had an upgrade by then. Got a whole lot bigger, and so did the crowds. Especially when our guest star turned up, David Essex.
Man, we've known him for a while. He's come to visit you this afternoon. So many people have turned out. For a young man who's been around for a while, I can remember way back to the days of Rock On, Rock On, and to a brand new single that looks to do ever so well Cool Out Tonight. David, welcome to our stage.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Are you all right? I guess you can't really be too astounded at this kind of a turnout anymore, but it's always so nice to see it, time after time after time, isn't it?
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, I've been away for about a year now, and it's lovely.
Have mercy. Boy, did we rock and roll.
Woo! We're on the road again, Radio 1.
I think I'm right in saying it was moved to the morning because
that's
in the afternoon, what's done in the afternoon, and unfortunately Roscoe was... was on it, and everybody had just come out of the pub, and they started lobbing stuff at him. So it was decided that it was probably best to do the road show in the mornings when people hadn't been drinking heavily.
Now, Roscoe, on that day of the race meeting, Roscoe was actually hosting the day. Now, normally, he would be out there dueling with Noel for first place.
I have to say, Tony, is that there were some great memories, weren't there?
There certainly were, yeah. I mean, my main memory, I think, was probably in Weymouth, where we were doing the roadshow there, and anybody who knows Weymouth, the tide goes out miles, and they erected the roadshow up on the beach, and they erected it too far out. Yeah. And halfway through the program, the tide was coming in, and by the end of the show, the audience were actually up to their waists in the seawater. It was unbelievable. Everybody stayed there.
It's banner time! Right, this is the time. When everybody has prepared banners, and we've got a heck of a lot of them. This is the most we've had, actually. More than we've had previously this week. But loads and loads of banners all over the place. Let's see how many we can do.
First Phil,
all,
you were such a huge Radio 1 fan and went to see the roadshow every summer as a teenager. So you must have been chuffed when you were asked to do it yourself.
Oh, I can't tell you. I mean, it was just a dream come true. I had a number of tick boxes at the time. I wanted to get on Radio 1. And Radio 1 was actually proving very difficult to get into because I started in the telly and Doreen Davis was the boss then. And Doreen kept saying, well, you know, he's good on the telly. Why does he need radio? And Peter, who looked after me at the time, Peter Powell in his management company, said, no, he's more bothered about the radio. He wants to do the radio more. And it was only when Doreen left and Johnny Beeling came in that I got a gig on Radio 1. So I did my evening show on a Wednesday and my Sunday morning show. And one day, my producer, who I think might have been Sue Foster at the time, said, and it was such a casual thing. They've just come through and said, you want to do a week on the road show? And I nearly fainted on the spot. And because it was such a casual thing. So I said, yeah, I'd love to. That'd be great.
Today, live from Wish Tower Slope, Eastbourne, with Philip Schofield.
Oh, listen to this. Tony, how much of a buzz was it for you walking out on stage and seeing such enormous crowds?
Actually, to be honest with you, you could probably put a parrot on the stage and people would turn up to see it. It was just a different era. It was wonderful. It was great fun.
But there's one particular roadshow where you put the Radio 1 boxer shorts on, you put the V-neck T-shirt, and you climbed up on the roof of the roadshow. Mm.
Yeah, I couldn't do that now.
We get the fire, brigade to get you on there.
I remember it very well. Yeah, I mean, I used to, I've always loved doing that, things like that. It was ridiculous, stupid, but it was fun.
Wasn't I great? Oh, it's going to be one of those days again. Right. We got a lovely audience here today, and the sun is shining, which is absolutely great as well. It was a little bit cloudy this morning, but now the clouds are clearing, and we're going to have a really beautiful day.
And Phil, you had to very quickly develop a style of your own to make an entrance and wow that audience too.
Everyone finds their thing. I just love the fact that my thing could be that I grew up by the sea.
Will you please give a great Eastbourne welcome to Phyllis Schofield?
So I thought, what can I do? What can be, you know, my arrival on stage? So I found the craziest T-shirts and the craziest shorts, and I ran out every morning with those zinc the Australians use it, zinc colours on my face, and I paddled in on a blow up Lilo.
Good morning. That's pathetic. Good morning.
When you got the gig, the first year of the roadshow, 89, we ended up in Southsea, and you, straight away at the opening of the programme, you opened it up and you called me on stage and said, Smiley, come here, you know, and
all of a sudden, there was either these Marines or whatever, and I was like handcuffed, and there was a blue van by the side of the road show, and you said, there's £5. We're now going to fly you in a Sea King. There was a Sea King parked on Castle Fields. And yeah. you said, we're going to fly you now to the Isle of Wight. You've got £5 and a phone, your own phone. And you said, if you get back before the end of the show, I'll give you £500 to your chosen son. And you were convinced there's no way Smiley's going to get back. So I got flown there, and you kept phoning me and saying,
Where are you?
Yeah. Where are you? And in the end, I had to double stitch you at the end because, well, it didn't, is that you kept ringing thinking, my £500, it was good radio and whatever. And I got to the port where the hovercraft was, and I said to the captain, you've got to get me back. I said, there's £500 on this. He said, we can't go, there's fog. You're laughing your head off and you thought, and you said to me, I'll come back to you in a minute, Smiles. Anyway, I managed to convince the captain that I give everybody a T-shirt, a Radio 1 T-shirt, if you can get me back. You then call me and I said I was still on the island. But in actual fact, I was halfway across and I actually was just getting off the hovercraft and you said, bye, Smiles. And there was a guy, a motorcyclist, on the side there, and I said, mate, I'll give you a drink, I'll buy you dinner, and you can have a T-shirt, can you get me back? And he rode up to the side of the roadshow, and you were on the stage closing the roadshow. And
see, that's what perfect timing is that?
Yeah, and I just walk up on the stage, and you said, he's back.
And here's somebody else who recalls South Sea for a very good reason. This is my Radio 1 Roadshow in the South here on the BBC. Now, in the summer of 1993, the South Coast leg was being steered by Steve Wright, accompanied by his afternoon posse. One of those joins us right now. It's ace producer Mick Vilkoich.
The 1FM Roadshow, 1993.
Hello, Governor. Thanks for being with us. Are you well?
I'm very good, thank you, Sean. How are you?
What a coup you pulled off during that particular week when you managed to get some huge stars in the shape of the Bee Gees to appear on the roadshow.
My relationship with the Bee Gees went back to 87 with when they changed labels to Warner's from RSO and Polydor. And they were struggling a bit to get any play, and I championed You Win Again, which was the big kind of comeback hit. And 6 years later, I phoned the wonderful Dave Most, bless him. And I said, could you get the boys down? What do you reckon? I mean, I didn't think we'd had any chance of getting the Bee Gees down. And he said, I'll ask him. And he came back within 5 minutes and said, yeah.
But Mick, perhaps the biggest star of all on stage that day in more ways than one was this chap.
Hey?
What about that? That brings back the memories, doesn't it, eh?
So nice to hear that again. Because we had this nice relationship with the Bee Gees and with Dave Most, we said, what are the chances of getting Blobby to play the drums on You Win Again for the play-out track as the climax of the whole show? Bee Gees are out there on front at the end of the stage, as far away from the back as they could. They're doing their thing to the track, and Blobby's playing along with the with the rhythm in the back. And towards the end, he just did this impromptu drum solo, and the drums flying everywhere, cymbals, sticks, you know, the drum seat, everything gone all over the place. And we were just killing ourselves laughing. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Bee Gees and Blobby, that level of showbiz could only happen on the roadshow.
It was extremely showbiz, and also, as apart from Blobby and the Bee Gees, that week we had Jason Donovan.
But you also had the Chippendales on, didn't you?
We did. We were at the Castle Field in Southsea, it was about 10:15, and by this time the crew's down, or certainly the producer was down on site, and you know, I got a phone call, and I spoke to this traffic officer, and he said, are you the producer? I said, yes. He said, can you stop asking people or telling people that the Chippendales are on at the roadshow? I said, why? He said, the M275 is full.
We have a beautiful, beautiful sunny morning. We have millions
millions of people here. We've got people as far as the eye can see here in Southsea.
And no word of a lie, when I stepped out on that stage and I was looking at a clipboard or something, I looked up and the crowd, you could sense the crowd. I mean, you know that advert for the for Maxell where his hair gets blown back?
Yeah.
And when I mentioned the Chippendales on the menu, my hair went back. You know, it was incredible.
And maybe you were there. Who knows? Chucking your underwear up on stage for Righty in the Afternoon Posse with just a little bit of help from the Chippendales, taking the South Coast by storm in the summer of 93 when the producer was Mick Vilkoj. Thanks for hanging out with us, Mick.
You're welcome.
Goodbye from Chelsea!
I always remember Chippendales coming to the roadshow, and it was a massive success. Fantastic.
But when you were doing the roadshow, Phil, the main attractions, apart from yourself, of course, would be people like Jason Donovan and many of the other Stott Aitken Waterman artists.
Well, the funny thing is, there was a sort of a little bit of a television and a radio crossover there, because I was doing sort of Saturday mornings, and we had obviously lots of musical slots to fill, and Stott Aitken and Waterman would put up all of their guests, and we'd usually take them. And so Jason came on the show so many times that in the end,
he could have had his own roadshow, really.
Well, he could have done, yeah. Well, yeah. I said to him, listen, mate, I've interviewed you so many times. Can you think of anything I haven't asked you? And so it got to that stage where we were constantly in touch with the Stott Aitken and Waterman crowd, and they were filling, they'd fill up the road show, they'd fill up the telly show, because they had so many people.
Will you be donning your shorts a little bit later on and taking a dip in the water?
Well, I don't know, actually. I saw a couple of guys down the road there. They were sort of having a bit of a swim, so maybe, I don't know.
And how about if we could persuade you perhaps to do a little bit of singing as well?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, listen, Jason Donovan!
Fronting the South Coast tour in 1979 was our lovely pal Kid Jensen. And you'll enjoy this, Phil, as one jingle he plays in particular is one that you also made famous a decade later. So, Kid, that week you rocked up at Weymouth, Swanage and Bournemouth, but it all started on the Isle of Wight.
Goodness me. Yeah, yeah. Those road shows, they were something else. They were fantastic. I mean, now you couldn't get away with just people coming along to see a guy sitting in the sand playing records, but that, in essence, is what we were doing. It was a great way of getting feedback from the Radio 1 listeners, and we used to do autograph signing sessions at the end of the road show, and that would keep you behind the crew trucks and things for quite some time.
Oh, yeah, the goodie mobile, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Talking to the Radio 1 fans that were there and getting a real sense of audience.
A Radio 1 book, our new magazine, goes to Bonnie Darrington. You managed to score just one, Bonnie. You got ABBA, secondly. But that, you got some correct answers, but then you crossed them out and put wrong answers. So thanks for coming on Playing the Game. Third prize, it's another Radio 1 magazine, and it goes to Sherry Hewison from Newport, who got two right. The fellas did rather better. Chris Toombs from the Hospital Radio Service on the Isle of Wight scored 6. And for that, you will get a Hessian bag and a Radio 1 magazine inside it. So you'll be able to carry your headphones to work in that, Chris. And nobody got 100%, but Keith Meadows got closest to it. You scored 8. And that was really well done, because it was a difficult bits and pieces today. And for your efforts, you receive a T-shirt in a Hessian bag and a Radio 1 book. Competitors, thank you today. We'll have 4 more and another bits and pieces game tomorrow.
You've got the sound of summer, Radio 1.
Yeah. Yes, I heard you. You were singing along there to Kids Summer Radio jingle. In fact, all the jocks had them at the time, didn't they? Including Tony.
For me, it's the best jingle ever. And there was it was Peter Powell who took that jingle as his own. And so it was always Summer Radio on the Peter Powell show. And it was for me listening to the radio then as just a listener, that was the start of the summer when Pete played that jingle.
Summer Radio on the Theater Bible Show. Hear his music grow on the Show.
Then I got on the radio, and I can remember the conversation. I said to Pete, you know, there's one thing, this is because he'd retired, I think, by this stage, wasn't doing it anymore. And I said, Pete, there's one thing I'd really love. I'd love you to give me permission to have your summer radio jingle. And he went, oh my God, I'd love to hear it again, of course. So I took it to the team and said, can we get this re-sung with my name? And when it came in, it was such an emotional moment that I'd got the summer radio jingle, which had originally been Pete's.
Radio 1 FM live from Eastbourne. And let's go for it.
10 years on, the crowd are singing it back to you, but this time with your name in the jingle. That's a real goosebumps moment, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean, it's just those are moments I could never have imagined when I was, you know, either listening to, because I was such a radio devotee, such a Radio 1 devotee, that in Luxembourg at night. All of those things, those moments are just, for me, the stuff that dreams are made of forever. I mean, they're amongst the best memories of my career, without question. You know, the running out onto the stage of the Roadshow, getting Pete's jingle, pulling all of these stunts, looking at 25,000-30,000 people who've just come to see this radio show. You know, that's the stuff that dreams are made of.
Tony was saying earlier about the tide coming in during his roadshow at Weymouth. Well, here's our chum Mike Reed with his own memories of that venue and the South Coast as a whole.
Radio 1 in the South.
My Radio 1 roadshow in the South.
Was amazing. You got 20,000-25,000 people sometimes standing in the pouring rain watching a radio show, which is quite incredible. Weymouth, we're at the end of some hurricane or monsoon, and it was, you couldn't see the back of the crowd. It was that black.
If you've ever been in the stocks, you'll know how difficult it is to drink a cup of coffee when you're in the stocks. Just try it, just see if it works. Does it? Oh, you can't quite reach, can you? Oh, that is so frustrating. And anyone that's naughty today will be in those stocks. Anyone who doesn't get more than 19 out of 20 on Pop Quiz, and anyone who doesn't get more than 10 out of 10 on Bits and Pieces will
That
be
was
in
the
there.
Day I had Smiley in the stocks. So it was a particular.
And quite right, too, yeah.
Quite right, yeah. It was a particularly unpleasant day for him, but it was extraordinary because it was lashing with rain and there was a worry that we were all going to get electrocuted. I mean, it was just hammering onto the stage.
I don't know what more to say, actually, Mike. You got me again today.
I did, didn't I? But I'm a little worried because my car's disappeared.
Correct.
There is a rumour it's turning up here in the next 15 minutes.
Yes, on a car transporter.
And we're not quite sure what state it's going to be in.
Normally it was good. You wake up in the morning, look out of your window, look down at the beach, and the crowd by 7:30, 8 o'clock, already gathering, and you're watching the clouds to hope they don't gather as well. And what fun, though. We had a great time. I mean, I remember my mother called me and said, you love it, don't you? She said, roof down, tennis racket and guitar in the back, driving from town to town, showing off and getting paid for it. And I said, yeah, actually, I hadn't looked at it like that. Sounds good to me.
And all the Dorset people are here.
and the Southampton Buzz.
We cut across from Margate to Eastbourne, and it was Margate where I'd enlisted Smiley Marley in the army because they got him to sign, and what he didn't know underneath the carbon paper was him signing himself into the army. Cut a long story short, he said, "Well, you're not going to make me go in the army." Brought a sergeant major on stage with looks like granite and two rookies, and we removed all his clothes, so he had to wear the army uniform the whole week. And at Margate, we gave him the company mascot, the little pig, and then we all disappeared, so he was left with a pig. So he had to drive the pig in his Range Rover, and I think he gave it to a farmer on the way. But my gag is that he got to Eastbourne, the hotel, and the manager said, "You can't bring that in here," and the pig said, "Why not?"
My old friend and not ally, the old enemy, Smiley Miley.
Yes.
And you were saying, Tony?
Mike Reed, of course, going out, and for some unexplainable reason, he always came out with a tennis racket, bashing balls into the audience, and in very, very short trousers.
And I always remember that you came and done, you come and sat in the window of the Goodymobile to do autographs. You brought Simon, and my James, I can't remember how old your son was then.
About 7 or 8 years old, I think.
Oh, yep. Was it? And I've got some great pictures in my archive. I need to find them out and send them to you. Is that both of them are playing while we're serving, and they're fighting and pushing one another in the boxes of Radio 1 t-shirts. and your son, Simon, he's having a whale of a time thinking, this is mad.
That was great. I mean, that's a part of it. I mean, if you're going to go out and the audience are nice enough to come along and see you, the least you can do is sign autographs. So we used to spend a long, long time there signing autographs, meeting the audience. That was all a part of it.
Sitting on the counter, legs dangling outside, signing as much as you possibly could. And that was always, you know, once again, another amazing part of it. You know, people wanting photos and signing their stuff. I don't think you can also, once again, you couldn't do the roadshow without sitting in there and doing the autographs, because then you're meeting the people who are listening to you on the radio.
It could be a very long day, though. So you needed to be up bright and early so that you could phone in live to the Radio 1 Breakfast Show and set the scene each day.
Right, you are then, Phil. See you later on. Have a good show, mate.
Thank you, matey.
And one of the things we did, I used to phone into the Steve Wright Show when we were moving from one venue to the other, and I'd phone in and we'd stop by the side of the road at a phone box or at a ice cream place or a fish and chip place or just a motor road services, something like that. I said, right, I'm on the A whatever on the right hand side. First person here gets a goodie bag. And it was incredible how fast people got to wherever we happened to be on the way to the next venue. And we put them on the radio. And then by the time he knew, there were hundreds of people there. And every single day we all had to be rescued. And the police thought it was a pain in the ass. But nevertheless, it was great fun.
But you were very lucky then. After the first year, you did 3 years. But the 1990 and 1991, you ended up doing 2 weeks of road shows.
And we had the best time because it wasn't just a couple of hours you did on the radio. It was getting to where you were going. It was getting to the next venue, and everyone had arrived, and we'd all sit in the hotel. And Malcolm Brown would play the piano, and he was a brilliant improvisation pianist. And so we'd sit down, we'd do that, then we'd go out for a meal. It was the entire team camaraderie that was just as important, I found out, because you don't know anything about that when you're watching it, but as a rolling crew, just the best times.
And those social evenings, I remember some of them, and they were great fun. I mean, I remember going back into the bedroom, and the smell in the bedroom was awful. Somebody put a kipper behind the behind the radiator or something, and there's stupid things like that, but we were all young. And, you know, it was just a great time.
This is my Radio 1 Roadshow in the South.
Andy Peebles on Radio 1.
A Roadshow.
On Radio 1.
Today, live from the Wish Tower Slope, Eastbourne, with star DJ Andy Peebles, plus special guest Little and Large.
And fronting the Radio 1 Roadshow week on the South Coast during 1981, it was Andy Peebles. Andy, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
So a memorable roadshow at Eastbourne then?
Yep, Little and Large. Sid and Eddie have been mates of mine from Manchester. Eddie and I, fellow Manchester City supporters.
They were great value, and it was just great fun. We had a good week. I mean, you know, you go to places like Brighton and Eastbourne in the middle of summer, and you expect a reaction and a crowd, and that's what we got. And from memory, I think we had pretty good weather.
The Radio 1 Roadshow.
Today, live from Madeira Drive, Brighton, with Andy Peeble.
I remember Johnny Billing produced that week.
The big summer hit was Bad Manners doing the can-can. They joined you on the roadshow stage at Madeira Drive in Brighton, getting the crowd to do it as well. Yeah. How did you find, the camaraderie with the roadshow crew, Andy?
It was hard work for them. It was like a rock band on tour. But I found a few photos, and actually, Sean found a wonderful photo of me and Lenny Henry.
Well, yeah, I'm really glad you've mentioned that, Andy, because the end of the South Coast week in 1981, it was Lenny making his Radio 1 debut with you on the roadshow.
Yeah, and I always remember Johnny coming to me afterwards, and he said, "Can I have a word?" And he pulled me away from Smiley and the rest of the gang, and I said, "Go on." He said, "Give me your honest opinion about Lenny." I said, "He's hugely talented." I said, "At the moment, he's an aspiring mimic, but I think there's a lot more to him than that." And Johnny said to me, "I think I'm going to give him his own show." And history says that's exactly what he did. Lenny loved DJing. He loved soul music. So he and I had that in common. Great man. Great man.
Wonderful memories of the South Coast Roadshow Tour in the summer of 1981. Andy Peebles. Andy, thanks ever so much for joining Smiley and I.
It's a great pleasure, Sean.
It's the happy, happy sound of Radio 1.
Both Andy and you, Tony, having Bournemouth in common, it was the area, though, that you grew up in, so it must have been wonderful bringing the roadshow home. Did your mum and dad come to see you?
Yeah, they were in the crowd, and they came along to see the roadshow and thoroughly enjoyed it. And I think my sister Jackie was there as well, if I remember rightly. And one or two, because I was brought up in that area, and I spent a lot of my time there, so one or two of the neighbours, I think, were there. But, you know, it was such a massive crowd of people. You just, individually, you couldn't see anybody. I think I went home to see my mum and dad afterwards, and they said how much they enjoyed the show. Mind you, they would say that, wouldn't they?
I gave them a T-shirt.
My mum and dad have loved every show I've done since I started broadcasting. So they were my best critics ever. But it was great to be on a home with a home crowd there. And I mean, everywhere you went, to be honest with you, everybody was friendly. Everybody, it was a massive crowd. It was just a wonderful thing to be a part of, the roadshow. It was one of those very special things.
Yesterday, of course, we were in Bournemouth. We moved east again, crossing the River Stour, and even through Christchurch to the edge of the New Forest and down to Lymington. And we crossed to the Isle of Wight, and we'd like to say hello to all those people who crossed us over on the Isle of Wight ferry there. We went from Lymington and we came to Yarmouth and then drove right across the island to Sandown. I'll tell you a little bit more about it later on.
I love the Isle of Wight, and I've been back there many, many times. It's a place I love. I do remember doing the roadshow. I mean, very, very roughly in my mind, but the Isle of Wight's always been very special to me. It's a great place.
22 minutes now to 12 o'clock here on the roadshow, coming to you from the Isle of Wight today, the gorgeous Isle of Wight.
And I remember, I think we were very close to the beach or quite high up.
Sheila Beat of Ocean, her latest single. I think it's going to be a smash, this one, for us, called You Light My Fire. Pretty hot stuff, this one.
Next, let's hear from somebody else who was mightily impressed by Bournemouth and especially the Isle of Wight.
Radio 1, the sound of happy motoring.
It was the turn of Simon Mayo and the Breakfast Crew to descend upon the South Coast in the summer of 1992. Meeting one of the Radio 1 stars to take to the roadshow stage that year was Rod McKenzie. Hello, Rod.
Sean, good to talk to you.
And you as well, mate. It's great to be speaking to you again. So, coming from a Newsbeat background, Rod, the sheer size of those crowds must have been breathtaking.
Oh, it's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And my first glimpse of a huge crowd on the Radio One Roadshow was just peeping out from behind a sort of makeshift curtain, which is the barrier between the backstage and the front stage, and looking at the people out in the distance. Wow. And they went back so far.
I think the really important news is that Drake is going to jump today here in Bournemouth. Good morning.
And the great thing was they were really, really up for it and wanted to see us, wanted to meet us, and wanted to have great fun.
Well, Sandown on the Isle of Wight, the pier approaching Bournemouth, on the beach at Weymouth, all classic roadshow venues. And there you were, saying about people wanting to meet you. For a good couple of hours after the show, signing autographs out of the Goodymobile window. I mean, you were like a rock star.
Signing autographs. Now, there's a thing from the 90s that I had to sign everything from T-shirts to bits of scrap paper to, just anything that they could lay their hands on and just to talk to me for a bit, which was great and a great compliment. And most of all, a great compliment to the show and to Radio One and its connection with young people over all those generations. Fantastic.
And we have some special guest stars who've already performed the highest new entry in the chart this week, and now they perform live their number one song. Welcome back on stage, KWS.
You, Simon, and Diane Blesser were already a very tight unit, but I know you loved being on tour with the Roadshow crew as well, didn't you?
Oh, it was fantastic. I remember the sailing to Sandown when we were doing the Isle of Wight, and we were on the boat going over, and Diane was there, the late Diane Oxbury, Simon, producer Rick Blaxall, and the crew, and we just had such a laugh. It was great fun. And it was the first time I'd actually been to the Isle of Wight. And it was a brilliant experience. And the other tourists who were kind of there were joining in the fun. And there was just a great vibe.
Simon Mayo and the Breakfast Crew on the South Coast with the Roadshow in the summer of 1992. And one of them joining us on the programme. Thanks very much, Rod McKenzie.
Cheers, Sean.
Radio 1 Roadshow. The right side.
Simon had a great crew, and the week was jam-packed.
All the road shows, they were all so successful, every single one. I mean, that was the wonderful thing about them.
You would never sit behind the desk. You wanted front of house, out with the crowd.
Some DJs just like being in the studio and away from everybody, but I started as a guitarist and singer with a dance band, and that's always been my main thing. So I've been very lucky. You know, it was one of those things. I was used to being on stage, and it was lovely meeting everybody.
And you'd even get over the barrier, and everybody saying, no, please don't go over the barrier, go over there. But you just loved it. Everybody, you know, they loved you.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I was going over the barrier, people were saying, don't go over the barrier. And that was the audience. I mean, but I insisted. I insisted, you know, pressing flesh.
We were hoping you would come back.
And we're in Eastbourne. Hello, Eastbourne. Here for the next hour and a half. Hi, everybody. Welcome along. Thanks for the Simon Bates. This is Ollie and Jerry getting things underway and breaking. There's no stopping us now.
If you're going to go in front of an audience, you've got to put on a show. And to me, just being behind turntables, it doesn't do it for me. It's quite boring to watch. It's like being in a studio. So I always wanted to be out there in front, entertaining the audience and enjoying not only the audience, but enjoying the whole event. You know, that's what it was all about. And I think just sitting there behind the deck and putting music on, that wasn't necessarily for me. In fact, Doreen Davis, who was one of the producers on the show, an executive producer, she used to quite often put the records on for me. And she was quite a heavy smoker. And the thing we tried to stop her smoking because all the ash would go over the records and they would start jumping.
My Radio 1 Roadshow in the South.
Andy Pearman is a rare breed indeed, being a Radio 1 Roadshow superfan who got to join the crew. And he's with us right now. Andy, thanks for being part of the programme.
Hello, Sean. Pleasure. Good to be here.
There's one roadshow in particular. I love this story. You're at Madeira Drive in Brighton. You've got your Radio 1 jacket on and you spotted somebody in the audience who was the most unlikely Radio 1 star to be gawping up and seeing exactly what was unfolding.
Yeah, it was quite a bizarre scenario, seeing as this was my first year of helping out with the crew. I've basically walked from the main stage to the back of the crowd where the goodie mobiles are. And on my way around, under the arches of Madeira Drive, I spot a gentleman leaning against the bonnet of his car, arms crossed, cap on head, watching Steve Wright on stage. And I thought, I recognised that person. So I walked over to take a closer look. And believe it or not, after a double take, I realised that the gentleman in question is actually Mr. John Peel.
It's incredible, isn't it? Because he did everything to swerve ever ending up on the Radio 1 Roadshow stage presenting it. And now we find out that he actually went along and watched it.
One thing that he asked me, which was why John Craven was buzzing around the roadshow audience with a film crew.
And on Monday we'll be in Brighton for the first of our newsround special deliveries. We'll be on Madeira Drive, teaming up with the Radio 1 Roadshow. If you can get there, well, we'd love to see you.
And I said to him, he's doing a special show for the BBC covering the roadshow tour for the summer called Special Delivery, part of newsround. And in his fantastic dry way, he just looked at me and said, "That's genius. That's going to boost the ratings."
On summer mornings on BBC One in the weeks to come, we've got Newsround special delivery for you, and we team up with the Radio 1 Roadshow.
Radio 1 Roadshow.
Now, also there that day in 1986 was the truly iconic voice of the Roadshow, Adrian Just, but this time in person. And there was a memorable reason for this, wasn't there, Adrian?
Oh, yes, Brighton Madeira Drive. I've got cause to remember that one. I used to do a character for Steve Wright Show, the pub singer. He was straight out of the 70s clubland, flared trousers, hideous frilly shirt, Elvis wig, big beer belly. I used to have padding for that. I wouldn't eat so much now. The only thing flat about it was his singing. Think Les Patterson in a cheap velvet suit. We got word that John Craven's newsround was going to be at the Brighton Roadshow, so I enlisted the help of old partner in crime, Peter Dixon. He was already on Steve's show as Mr. Madden, political commentator John Ball, and a great character man and always up for a laugh. We dressed him up as my minder, black suit, black shirt, a regular Will Smith. John thrust the microphone at me and I was all ready with a spiel. "There's Rob Berry here. This week Brighton, next week Vegas." I didn't get that far. Our man in black jumped in. "I'm sorry, Mr. Raven, no publicity, no interviews. If you want my guy, let her go through the press office," said he, putting his hand over the camera. But the funniest bit was our lovely PA at the time, Sandy Lillywhite, no longer with us now, sadly. And she said to her pal, "I think that man's wearing a wig." Even half a mile away on the Palace Pier, they were shouting, "Wig!" Oh, yeah. Just another average day on the roadshow.
The Radio 1 Roadshow.
Smiley's on stage.
Good morning.
Good morning. All right. It is time for this.
The Radio 1 Roadshow.
And now, it's Smiley Miley's mileage time. Your chance to win on the 1FM Roadshow Mileage Game.
This is my Radio 1 Roadshow in the South.
Phil, you ended up fronting the roadshow for three consecutive years, even doing a couple of weeks during the following two summers. But how important was that debut tour on the South Coast for you, do you think?
There was a lot riding on it. I mean, if I cocked it up, then things would have been very different. I mean, thankfully, all the stars were in alignment and it all worked. But if I'd made a pig's ear of it, then, that would have been a whole different story.
No, but you didn't make a pig's ear of it. It went on, and I, on behalf of everybody, it was a pleasure, Phil, to work with you, and we just had so much fun. Not only the roadshow, but after and in the evening, and playing rounders on the beach, and the public coming to play with us. And when you say, you know, it's a summer holiday.
Oh, that's when summers were summers.
And I remember when we used to go into the certain towns. You know, other radio stations that were broadcasting, they practically gave up for the week because we took it over. And so it was very, very good promotion for the radio station and the individual disc jockeys as well. I mean, the Roadshow is very much like it's a family event. It was that was the great thing, because you got the kids coming along with the mums and dads. That was the thing I liked about it very much indeed. It wasn't just for one group of people. It was for everybody. The Roadshow, on the road
again. Radio 1. Now, hosting the Roadshow South Coast Tour during the summer of 1995 and 1996, here's an old friend I haven't spoken to for a while. Hello, Clive Warren. How are you?
I'm really good, Sean. Great to be with you on your show. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, oh, it's
good
lovely to have you on.
The Radio 1 Roadshow.
Hi, this is Clive Warren, and it's getting nearer. I'll be on the Radio 1 Roadshow tomorrow, live from the beach in Margate. My special guests will be Sean Maguire, Ginny, and the mighty Sin with Sebastian. Do join us for the greatest roadshow on the planet, on air, tomorrow at 11:30, only on 97 to 99 FM, Radio 1.
Right, so your first one was in Margate, but we're talking about another legendary roadshow location that you recall most fondly.
Well, we are. Eastbourne was a great roadshow, because the Wish Tower slope made a natural amphitheatre, so you could get thousands of people and they could all get a great view of the roadshow vehicle. And on that particular gig, we have one of the last appearances of PJ and Duncan.
The world famous Radio 1 Roadshow, 1996.
Wreck the mic. And when I met them backstage, obviously I knew who they were because I remember them from Biker Grove. And they introduced themselves as Ant and Declan. And I was told by the record company that this would be one of their last performances. I think they were going to do this one and then they might have been doing some of the Simon Mayo the following week. And I thought, that's really strange, because they're really good and they were really popular. And it puzzled me what they were going on to do. Well, obviously, as we now know, they were changing their names back to their original names, and there was a whole load of television awaiting for them. But it was interesting. There was obviously a big game plan.
Thanks to Michelle Gale. On Monday, the Roadshow will be at Marine Sands in Margate with Clive Warren, and we'll see you very soon. The Roadshow is back on Monday. Thank you, Southend.
That was then. This is now.
Show returns tomorrow, live from Marine Sands Market with Clive Warren. Beginning at 10 a.m. on air for 11:30. The Road Show.
Yo, yo.
The summer is officially here.
This isn't just a dream.
When we were doing the Roadshow, Fergus Dudley was our producer, a legendary Radio 1 producer, and he had one of those BBC A4 diaries, and he must have known where literally every pop star was in the country and if they could make it to the Radio 1 Roadshow. He had, you know, this like spreadsheets of who's around.
The Roadshow. Go on Radio 1.
And then we have other artists who might have been a little bit newer, like Urban Cookie Collective with The Key, The Secret. And we did a lot of road shows with Urban Cookie Collective, and that song was just a perfect roadshow song. Yeah. You know, everybody loved it. It created a great atmosphere. And the Urban Cookie Collective would come onto the stage and perform to the song, 3-minute song, something like a 3.5-minute song. And one of the members of the Urban Cookie Collective would kind of come onto the stage in what could be described as a toga outfit. But by the end of the song, he would be down to his underpants. And I can remember coming off stage and hearing Fergus, who was a brilliant producer, explaining to this guy from the Urban Cookie Collective that I don't think your nudity is in the BBC guidelines. So if we... So he actually got foot straight. Keep your clothes on while you're entertaining a family audience.
I mean, what about the crowds for you, Clive? Because I know that you'd grown up listening to Radio 1. You were a major fan, you know, through the 70s and the 80s. You get there in the 90s. And those crowds were still absolutely phenomenal even then.
Our tour manager, Richard Greaves, an absolute legend. He could almost, to a person, tell you how many people were in the audience, because he was such an old hand at the roadshow. And it was almost like terrifying, because it's 50,000 people at Eastbourne. By the time I got to Radio 1, in all honesty, the Radio 1 roadshow was the star. That's what they came to see. I was the presenter, but the roadshow
all the heavy lifting had already been done for us with Johnny Beerling and Smiley Miley and all of those people. They'd done the heavy lifting. When, by the time we got there, it was about the legend of these vehicles rolling into town and us putting on a show.
Oh, thanks, Clive. Roadshow memories of 1995 and 96.
Great that Clive was saying that, how well the Roadshow was and what he then took on, and the other guys took the Roadshow on after I finished, and the likes of Johnny Beerling. And we knew then it was in great safe hands, and it had many years to carry on. And they did a fantastic job to keep it, keep the Roadshow memories going.
You know, it was the summer and we got to meet the audience. So it was a very, very special event. And one that I really think that, you know, probably Radio 1 could still do now. Although it's moved on, I think probably, you know, they do special weekends and things, but not the same as going out there day after day and doing it right the way throughout the summer.
My Radio 1 Roadshow in the South.
I'd just like to say thank you, Tone, for your memories of My Radio 1 Roadshow in the South. Fantastic memories. We had some great times. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Tony.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Phil, for coming on and reminiscing.
Wouldn't have missed it for the world.
Oh, thanks God, a lot, Phil. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you.
What memories. You know, just think, we've had Phil, we've had Tony, we've had Roscoe, we've had Reedy, we've had Kid, we've had Andy, we've had Justy, we've had Rod, we've had Mick, and we've had Clive. That is tops.
Oh, absolutely, Smiles. And with special thanks to Richard Lasso and producer extraordinaire David Miller for their much valued help in putting the programme together. For the last hour, this has been My Radio 1 Roadshow in the South here on the BBC.